Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's good to see you. It's good to be here today. It's good to be able to share God's Word with you. I hope that you brought your Bibles because we're going to be using them. We're here to open the Word of God and study the Word of God, so that's what we're going to do. I want to invite you to come with me to the home of an Ethiopian person and just imagine the smells when you walk in the door. A lot of Ethiopian homes may not be huge, but whatever they have, they willingly share and they willingly give. And the first smell that might overwhelm you might be the smell of Buna coffee. But this is all ground up and everything, but in an Ethiopian home, they would actually get the green coffee beans, they would roast them over a fire, and then they'd walk around the room and let you smell the aroma. If you're not a coffee drinker, you still would be mesmerized by the smell because it's amazing. Another smell that you might experience is Ethiopians like to eat pretty spicy food. So you would smell berbere, which is pretty much crushed up hot peppers. And they would add this in their stuff in Menita. Again, very, very spicy. You would smell the spices as they're cooking their dorewats, which would be their chicken stew with the hard-boiled egg, or maybe their other wats, like the chickpea stews, and things like that. So you're overwhelmed by the sense of the smell of buna. You're overwhelmed by the sense of the very strong spices. And then Ethiopians also, when it's a festival, a holiday, they will also burn incense in their homes. And so you would have this sense of incense that sometimes to me is very overpowering, especially in a small room. But you'd be smelling all of these things. As much as well as you might be in a very small room and there might be a lot of people, so imagine what you'd smell in that case. But it's very overwhelming, and it's when you walk into the home of an Ethiopian who has spent hours, days, preparing these meals for you, as the guest of honor, you know that you are loved. You know that you are welcomed. You know that they just want to lavish on you the goodness that they have. And so I want us to think about what kind of fragrance do we have? Now, every time I come back to the States, I always go to places and I don't want to advertise, but, you know, and get body sprays. So, and this one has shimmering. This one's Hello Beautiful, which I say every morning to myself, Hello Beautiful. And so, but this one has shimmeries on it, and, you know, it makes me smell nice, and many people will be like, what is that scent you're smelling, that you're wearing? And I was like, oh, it's this one. But I'm not talking about our smell like our body smell. I'm talking about our spiritual smell. So I want us to think about, as Christians, as those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, what kind of fragrance do we have? All right? So I'm going to challenge you as much as I'm challenging myself to think about how good we smell or how bad we smell. If there's anything that we need to change to get a better smell. So please open up your Bibles, and if you could put back up on the screen the verses, starting with verse 14. I want to bring out a few things before we get into the idea of a fragrance. But this whole idea is, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. I want to pause there, because the first thing I want to ask us as Christ followers, as Christians, those of us who say we have Christ in our life, do you live a triumphant life? Or do you walk around this earth feeling defeated? Do people see you with joy, with enthusiasm? And I know not every moment of every day we are, but in general. Or do we walk like we are defeated? Because we just sang, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. So if we are going to be triumphal, then we're living out that verse of, I've come to give you life and life to the fullest. All right? So just that's that first little pause thing to think about. So Christ is leading us in this triumphal procession, and through us spreads, through us, that's all of us in this room, through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Doesn't matter where we're at in the world, everywhere, okay? So, and I want to challenge us that it's more than just this knowledge, our head knowledge, but that it's heart knowledge. It impacts our daily life. It impacts the way we think and move and speak and act. Okay? Moving on to verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We, one of the reasons we come to church every Sunday is to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. But we want to be a good aroma to those of us that we know we're saved. We want to encourage each other, right? There's nothing like going to a brother or sister when you're having a hard time and being rooted up in love, right? But we're also a very aroma to those who are perishing. So those that don't know Christ yet, we're an aroma to them. This is a pretty heavy responsibility. To one from death to death, and to the other life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Verse 17. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. Now I had to look up the word peddlers because I wasn't quite sure what that was. And it means corrupt or corruptors. So people who are corrupting God's word. So we don't want to corrupt God's word through our lives. But as men of sincerity, living a sincere life, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So what kind of fragrance are we? If we are being an aroma for those who are in Christ, but also those who haven't found Christ yet, what kind of aroma are we? An aroma is a distinctive, typically pleasant smell. Typically. And we know that. Not all aromas are good. But a fragrance is a pleasant, sweet smell. So I want to encourage us to be a fragrance for God today. I'm going to give an acronym, so if any of you like to take notes, you can write down an acronym. But I'm also going to ask you to call back the letters after we do each letter. First service, they did a good job of this. Let's see if you can do better, okay? So for, the word is fragrant. F stands for forgiven. When I started to think about what the word forgiven is, and I started to think about what that means in your life, I was drawn back to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. So Matthew 6, 11 through 13. Give us this day our daily bread, or in Ethiopia we would say our daily injera, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we are living a fragrant life, we don't just accept the fact that Christ has forgiven us, but we also forgive others. Now, I know that this is a hard thing for me personally. I don't know, maybe you don't have an issue with this, but it's hard to forgive those that have hurt us. But we are to live a life where we are constantly trying to forgive them, because forgiveness is not a one-time thing. It's a constant forgiving of the things done against us. So we don't just live a life that we know Christ has forgiven me when He died on the cross. And we praise God for that. But now we live a life where others can see that God has forgiven them too, and that we will forgive them. So F stands for forgiven. R, repentant heart. When we accepted Christ into our life, we repented. Right? We acknowledge the fact that we were sinners and we asked Christ to change our life and help us to live a different life. But it's not just something we do at that moment of conversion, but every single day of our lives through this process we call sanctification, you know, a big word, you may have heard it before. We are trying to live a life that looks more like Christ, which means we got to get the human out of us, the sin out of us, which we're constantly going to deal with until the moment that we die. And we need to repent. It means turning away from, turning back from. And in Matthew 3, John the Baptist is talking, and he's baptizing a lot of people, and Pharisees are off to the side and watching everything that's going on. And I love how John the Baptist responds to the Pharisees when he talks about, in verse 2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then it goes on to say, "I'm preparing the way for the Lord." But then in verse 7, "But when he saw," so John the Baptist, "saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, you snakes.'" That's pretty strong language, right? We would say other things nowadays. "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So John is challenging the disciples, or the Pharisees, and saying, "Look, you know the law. I know you know the law, but where's your fruit?" So how dare you be like, why are you baptizing these people, when he's like, whoa, how many other followers have you gotten? How many other people have you led? It's like the axe is right by the tree, ready to chop it down, because you're not bearing any fruit. And when we repent, it helps us to be able to get out our human nature, and helps us to be more godly, and then we will bear fruit. So I want to challenge us to constantly ask God, what is it that I need to repent of in my life? Because I know for me, many times God is like, "Rachel, you were jealous right there. Rachel, you were selfish right there. Rachel, you were greedy. You were whatever it was." And those are sins. Sins that I should have conquered by now. By God's grace, He helps me to conquer them all the time. But we have to have a repentant heart and be willing to change. Not be like the Pharisees and just call other people out on their sins, but then not deal with our own sins. So what did F stand for? Forgiven. What about R? Very good. All right, moving on to A, is the awareness of sin in our life. And this sort of talks about repentance, but before we can repent, we have to be aware of what to repent from. And I was thinking about who in the Bible really kind of knew where they were. And I mean, we could go to David. I mean, he knows that. But the woman at the well in John 4 came to my mind. So I'm on John chapter 4. And verses 16 to 18. I like hearing those pages. It's a nice sound. John chapter 4, 16 to 18. Jesus said to her, so this is the Samaritan woman, "Go call your husband and come here." "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." She was aware of her sin. She knew what she was doing. She could have chosen that moment to lie to Jesus, even though he would have known he's God. But she said, "No, I have no husband." She was fully aware of her lifestyle. And so we need to be aware of our sin, because we can't repent until we point out what we need to repent from. So unfortunately, the word fragrance has R and then A, but I would switch it around. So what is A? Okay, let me try again. What is F? Okay, R? A? And then G is going to be godly. We need to have a godly lifestyle. We need to be thinking of things that God wants us to. And when I came back to the States, I asked some of the people I was first interacting with, I'm like, what's the climate like? I don't mean the weather, but what is like the spiritual climate here in America? You know, because I hear things, you know, on the news, but I'm like, what is it really like to be a Christian in 2017 living in America? And I think, like, you know, we're really challenged at this point in time to start either saying, this is what I believe and this is what I follow, or I'll just kind of go with what the rest of the world says is okay and be tolerant, you know? But God is like, my word tells you how to live. So live a godly life. Live the way that God wants us to. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. Verses 6-8. Now, you're going to have to read the verses before later on this afternoon so that you know what, when he says in verse 6, if you put these things before the brothers, you're going to have to read what these things are. But it's basically telling us how to live. Verse 6, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the word to the faith, words of the faith, and the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while being bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise to the present life and also for the life to come. How many times do we say, well, this is an old wives' tale, or this is like kind of just how I've always done it, you know? This is tradition. My pastor in Ethiopia at the international church I attend, he once said this from the pulpit, and I was like, yeah, amen. He said, stop using your culture as an excuse to sin. I was like, praise God, amen. Stop using your culture as a reason to sin. Well, my culture says it's appropriate. Well, who made that culture? Man, right? And we know that may have been founded on Christian values, but we've come so far from those Christian values. So stop living the way the world says to live and live in a way that is godly. Live in a way that when people see you, they don't see the world, but they see God. And it's hard to do. And I'm sure you guys are starting to experience a little bit more of that pressure here in America. But you can do it. Because greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. I love to use the music to help us think about it. Are we listening to the world? Or are we listening to God? Let's go over to Philippians 4:8. Because if we're like, well, what should I be thinking about? What should I be focusing on? It tells us very clearly in Philippians 4:8 what to focus on. This is after those verses that talk about do not be anxious about anything. Remember, we quote those verses often. Then we kind of forget about Philippians 4:8, which says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then Paul goes on to say, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And this is after those verses of, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. We know those verses, right? We always quote that when we get nervous. Or at least I do. But at the end of that, it says, and the peace of God will be with you after you do these things too. So if you want to know, is this godly or not? Well, is it pure? Is it true? Is it just? Is it commendable? That's your scale that you limit it on, that you weigh it on. That's how you know if you're living a godly lifestyle. Because it says that what you've seen and heard in me, put it into practice. Well, if we're supposed to be examples of Christ for other people, but we're not living a way that shows them any differently than the world's living, then how are they supposed to put those things into practice? Because then they're just going to be putting into practice things of the world. And I challenge myself with this all the time, too, because I know that there's things in me that are not godly, and I constantly have to give those to God and say, God, help me to shine more like you, to reflect more of who you are. So, S stands for, what? There we go. R. A. G. The next R is restoration. We talked about in verse 14 that we're supposed to live a victorious life, right? Well, things are going to happen in our lives that are not always going to help us to be focused on God, and, you know, we're going to have trials and tribulations, and there's going to be death, and things like that are going to want to persuade us to move other ways. But if we pray for God to restore us in those times, then our focus will be back to where it used to be. I don't know about you that are sitting in this congregation right now, but I've been a Christian for over 30 years, 31, 32 years. Yeah, I know, I don't even look that old, but, you know, and it's very easy for me just to be like, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. Got my ticket to heaven. But if nothing had changed since the time I became a Christian till now, then I would have no impact to let other people know that it's not just, hey, I want you to come with me to heaven, but why would you want to go to heaven? Why would you want to live your life in a way that pleases God if your life doesn't reflect the life of God? So we think about David. I'm going to go to David for this one because he was a man who we know he sinned, right? He messed up big time. And that's the great thing about the Word of God is it's full of a bunch of people that have messed up big time, right? Lots of failures in here, but they're not failures because they let God work in their lives. So let's go to Psalms 51. Very familiar passage. I'm sure you guys have read it a gazillion times. But think about this idea of if we want to have the fragrance of God, what does it mean to let our lives be restored? Psalms 51. I'm going to go to verse 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. But David had to get before God and say, God, my heart needs cleaned. I need to be renewed. I need to be refocused. I need your Holy Spirit to speak to me. And then he says in verse 13, then I will teach others. When's the last time you had a tune-up, a spiritual tune-up, where you allowed God to restore you, to remind you of that joy that you had in the moment of conversion or the moment where you had a major spiritual experience where you really felt like God was in your life. And it was more than just a check, I went to church this Sunday, check, I went to Bible study, check, I gave my tithe, you know. But when has it really like you restored to that joy again? Because we are the joy for the world to see Jesus. We are the church, as Ren Collective says. We are the hope of the world, right? So, F stands for R, A, awareness of what? Okay, just checking. Godly. Oh, I did the first service too. G. R, the second A is to be awestruck of who God is. To be awestruck of who God is. When was the last time that you got together with God, removed all other distractions, like your phones and Facebook and all those other crazy things that just pull at us 5,000 directions, and you just sat down at the feet of Jesus and you said, God, just reveal yourself to me. Help me to see how amazing you are. We sing about it all the time. Praise him, praise him. And we sang, you're beautiful beyond description. But when you think about that, Can you stand in awe of who he is? Because for me, sometimes I feel so overwhelmed with the awness of God that I have trouble standing, that I'd like want to fall before him. And it's been a while since that's actually happened, so I need to challenge myself to do that too. But are you so overwhelmed by who God is and what he's done in your life and what he's done in the people around you that you're just like, wow, that's my God. That's my God. My God who I have a personal relationship with, I get to be with every single day in my life. We know that we sang, you know, I stand in awe of you. Only God to who all praise is due. And we also sang, we're hiding in the cleft of the rock. And I chose that hymn because a couple weeks ago, the church I was at, they sang that song. And I started to visualize what that is like. And so I was like, where in the Bible does it talk about that? And it's when Moses goes up and says, I want to see you, God. I want to, like, see you face to face. And God is like, you can't handle that. That's going to be too much for you. But I will let you go in the cleft of a rock. You can have your back to me, and I will pass by you. So Moses didn't even see God face to face, but we know he was changed. He came off of that mountain, and he was radiating. His hair was all white, and people were like, whoa, what just happened to Moses? Well, we can have experiences like that too, guys. We don't have to, like, go to Mount Sinai for that. You can have that experience right here, right now, today. You can have that experience driving down the road when you're going to work. And there's times that I'm listening to the radio, and a song comes on, and I'm just overwhelmed by who God is. And I really think about what I'm singing. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. I've already walked through that dry, thirsty land, and now he's holding me in the palm of his hand. It doesn't even say hand. His hand. It's powerful stuff. That's our God. It's not just this thing that's up there in heaven. That's our God. That's who we have a relationship with. Are you in awe of who he is? Be awestruck of who God is. Psalms 47 talks about that, and we could read a lot of the Psalms. But I thought about Psalms 47 here. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Loud songs of joy. Like, we're really worshiping God. For the Lord, the Most God, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Verse 8, he rules over the nations and sits on the holy throne. God is so amazing, and he's in charge of all nations. So we don't have to fear what governments are going to do. We have to obey them. We have to pray for them. But we don't have to fear because God is sovereign. Because he is so amazing. I pray that you guys will feel that awness of who God is. That's one of the coolest things about living overseas and doing missions work is I've gotten to see how people from other cultures worship God. How they get to experience God. I've got to see God in creation in other places. And it just makes me just sit there and be like, God's way too cool for me. He's batasam, as I say it. Batam means very in Amharic. Awesome. Batasam. He's very awesome. He's amazing. When have you last been awestruck by who God is? I encourage you. Put your distractions away for a little bit today and just ask God, can I just experience your awness, your awesomeness? I bet you will come back and you will be changed. You will be radiant like Moses. And then other people will be like, what happened to you? I want that. That's how we are good fragrance for God. Okay, F stands for R. A. God, oh, I did it again. G. R. A. Of. Okay, there's a second. N. New life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. We probably know that verse, right? We quote it when people come to Christ. I don't want to look at that verse, but I want to look at another verse. Galatians 6:15. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians 6:15. This is Paul. He's talking to the Galatians about what really, you know, lets the other people around him know if they are Christ followers at this point or not. Because, you know, the old law said you had to be circumcised, and now they're like, well, do I have to be circumcised or not be circumcised? And so Paul says in Galatians 6:15, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It's not what you've done. It's how you live your life. Are you that new creation? Are people seeing a drastic change from how you used to be to how you are now? And I challenge those of us that have been, that are veteran Christians, like, it's easy to get comfortable. So, but how are you growing? How are you changing to be more like Christ? Because as we go through different seasons of life, Christ is going to speak to us in different ways. He doesn't talk to me the same way he talked to me when I was a kid, or a teenager, or 20-something, or 30-something. So, be a new creation. Cast off the old self, your old mindset, your old thought process, your old actions, your old behavior. And ladies and gentlemen, when you become a Christian as a child, you still get bad habits in your teens and 20s and etc. So you have to constantly throw off those old, negative, ungodly attitudes and thought processes. Because our mind is going to be battlefield. But greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. But I still have to like say, nope, that's how Rachel, without being madly deeply in love with Jesus, used to think. As I fall more and more in love with Jesus, I know that that is a lie and this is the truth. You know, it's probably like being married, right? First you're enamored with each other and you can't, you know, spend 2 seconds away from each other. And then you get married and you have kids, life goes on and you're like, who's that person standing over there? We don't want to do that with Jesus, right? We want to fall more in love with Jesus every day, just like you would want to fall more in love with your spouse. Okay, F, R, I can't hear you, there we go, A, G, I got it right this time, R, A, N, and T stands for, what, Pastor Bob? Yeah, he was here for service. Being thankful. All right, so what kind of fragrance do we have? It's so easy to have a bitter, complaining spirit, right? Very easy. Super easy. But if we need to have a spirit, or if we need to have a fragrance of Christ, we need to have a thankful heart. We need to be able to say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I have a breath to take. Thank you I have the energy to walk. Thank you that I can walk, that I have all my appendages. Whatever it is you need to, like, thank God for to make you think, like, my life is really not that bad. God has really blessed me a lot. And I think about that often because, like, when I exercise in Ethiopia, which isn't that often, but if I go walking on the streets for exercise, I think often, like, these people aren't walking for exercise. They're walking to get from point A to point B. Whereas I have a car. I can just get in my car and go. I'm choosing to walk. I'm also healthy enough to walk. Because a little surgery that could have been done when someone is a child, they can't do that, or they can't afford it in Ethiopia. So you have crippled people walking on the streets, using crutches and everything else. Like, some people walk with like pads on their knees and elbows, and they scoot. And I walk past that, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not in shape, but I can walk. Like, God has given me health. And we take little things like that for granted until the moment we're sick, or until the moment something happens. But we need to be thankful. We need to have a thankful heart, because if we are to be that triumphant procession, we can't walk around like, man, I didn't get that new thing that I really, really wanted. Well, you have many things. God has blessed you with many things. But again, it's not just the material things that we need to be thankful for, but it's our spiritual life. Thank you that when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I will not spend an eternity separated from God, because people are dying every day that don't have that assurance. We need to be thankful for that. And then when we live that thankful life, people will be like, wow, life must be worth living, and what do these people have? And I want some of that. So, I think about the story of the 10 lepers, not leopards, but lepers. And we find that in Luke 17. Who was thankful in the Bible? Many people were, but I tried to pick, like, you know, the obscure little things that we don't always think about. Luke 17. So verses 11 to 19 talks about that, the idea of where he heals the lepers. They're free now. They're no longer social outcasts. You know, these people's lives have been completely changed, right? How many were there? 10, right? So let's look at verse 17. Actually, let's go to verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. When Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Do you want to be like those 10 lepers who say, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me, making me clean, but I'm just going to go on with my life"? Or do you want to be like that one leper who turned around and with a loud voice fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for everything you do for me every single day." I want to be like that one leper. I'm not always like that one leper. Sometimes I just move on with life and, like, thanks, Jesus. I'm going to keep doing my thing, but I'm not going to take time. So again, all of us, like, all these things I need to work on in my life too. All right, let's see how well you remember. F. R. A. G. R. A. N. And T. And there's probably a lot more of other attributes that you could have to have a fragrant life. And I want to encourage you to spend some time with God and ask Him, "God, how do I stink? How do I stink? What are the fragrances that I'm giving off that are not life-giving but are death-giving? And maybe they're not even life-giving to my brothers and sisters in Christ." And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can go up to somebody and be like, "You stink." And in love, we say, "Have you brought this before God?" That's what the body of Christ is all about, making sure we all smell good for each other, but most importantly, for those that don't know of who Christ is. Because we need to, like, let other people see who God is, because ultimately it's not about me. It's all about God and letting people see God through me. So, we don't want to be, like it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, a clanging cymbal. It's just just making noise. So we have to cover all these things in love. And that's 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter, right? Cover all these things in love, because it's only through love that we're going to be able to do any of these things. That we can be forgiven and forgive those that have really hurt us. And can have a repentant heart. And can be aware of our sins. And to see how God is, because God is love. So if we don't understand love, we won't understand God. Letting God restore us. Being awestruck who He is. Living that new life. And being thankful for everything that we have. So, what kind of fragrance are you? One that gives death, one that gives life. So to close, can we all together read the passage? Can we put it back up on the screen, please? And let's stand up and do it, because we're reading God's Word. All right? You ready? But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Let's rescue the perishing. Let's care for those who are dying by showing them the fragrance of Christ in our lives. Can I pray for you? God, we thank you. We thank you for the many examples in the Word of God of those that wanted to live fragrant lives. And God, we're not always going to get it right. We thank you for that love and grace that you give to us. We pray that we will extend that to our brothers and sisters. We pray that as you reveal to us areas we need to repent, areas where we need to live in that new creation, that we will let you restore us and make us new. We thank you, Father God, just for the ability to come together. I pray for boldness for my brothers and sisters here in America, that they will stand for what is godly. They will stand for what is right and pure and true and admirable, that although society says some things are morally correct, we know, Father God, that they go against your principles. So give them boldness here in America to live a fragrant life for you. I pray these things in your holy name. Amen.